Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, Hugh Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. And today's episode, it's another one of our little Zoom live hangouts. I'm really looking forward to tonight's. I always look forward to these anyway, as I've told listeners of this before. We sort of put together a lovely little gang of people, and we've got this nice little monthly hangout, which is completely non-judgy, and we just get to bang on about records that we love, and I imagine tonight would be no different. And so I'll say good evening, one and all. Thanks for joining us. I think we've got a few more joining us as this might unfold, but I wanted to get things moving. Tonight, cover versions. So we decided that I thought it might be a good conversation starter. And hands up, who wants to jump in on this first? What makes a good cover? Go on, Steve.
For me, it's got to be an exact replica of the original song, or it's got to be done in a style completely at odds with the style that the original was done in. So say you have like a ballad, it's got to be done by like a death metal band or something like that.
Are all of yours ballads by a death metal band, Steve?
Not quite, no. there's a few ska covers thrown in.
I mean, let's talk about that, because I don't know if anyone else has got any of those, but ska punk covers. I mean, if you're a ska punk band, you have to throw covers in, right?
There's thousands of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my nightclub dines out on a lot of them every Friday night and has done for the last 20 years. And they don't
probably
disappear.
Dance to most of them. No.
I missed you. It feels like we're having a catch up. But I was out with Scroobius yesterday. He was having a little wander around London, and he said that you was at the Brush and with him.
Yeah, for Stu Turtle's birthday.
That's right, yeah. He said everyone was pissed up having a mad run on the dance floor, and the two non-drinkers were standing there scratching their beards on the side of the dance floor.
Looking all judging, looking at everyone.
wonderful. Anyone else's thoughts on covers? What makes a good one and what makes a bad one?
I think a good cover, it makes you sort of see the song from a different perspective. And sometimes just makes the song better as well, I think.
I mean, that's the interesting bit. Like, you know, and I'm sure we'll get onto this, covers that people think are better than the originals. Because I think there's plenty out there. And well, look, let's get things moving in regards to... I'll tell you what. Let's get a cover from someone, and then I've got a few more things that I want to talk about in and around the cover version. So I'll start with you this evening, Brett. Throw me a cover that you love and tell me why.
I've got a bit of a backstory about this one as well. Yeah. 15 years ago or so, drinking in a pub in Brighton, and there's what we locals call a DFL, Down from London. They're pissed up. They're I'm in Brighton. Yeah. All this fucking absolute nauseas. And Rudy, A Message to You came on, the original by Dandy Livingston. And this bird was in the pub mouthing off, this is a shit cover. This is terrible. Rah, rah, rah. I can't help myself. I just went, love, this is the original. She went off, absolutely kicking off. No, it's not. I know these things. This is the one. I've got a degree in African studies. I'm like, yeah. She was getting aggro. Her boyfriend was getting aggro. It was a quick, yeah, drink up and fuck off. Anyway, yeah, the specials version of Rudy, A Message to You. I think it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And I would say I prefer that to the original.
Yep. It's because it's the one that I was used to. I didn't really know about the Dandy Livingstone version until 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's this?
Yeah. And I mean, we've touched on ska punk covers already, and obviously that's a ska cover. And I don't want to chime in with another super legendary cover of an amazing song by a ska band. So I wonder if Stephen may be throwing that in the mix this evening. So
I might have it later as well.
I'm gonna hold off for the moment. Yeah, and I mean, okay. Well, has there ever been, I mean, it's fitting that we asked this now off the back of the woman that you were talking about in the pub. Has there been songs that you haven't realised have been covers until much further down the line? Because
yep.
Certainly for me, and I'll kick off with one. I think it wasn't until about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I never realised Hanging on the Telephone by Blondie was a cover. I thought that was a Blondie song. And I was quite surprised to find that one out. And one other one I'll throw in there is the Annie Lennox song, No More I Love Yous. I didn't know that that was a cover. And the original's great. I'm not a fan of Annie Lennox or the Eurythmics. I don't dislike them hugely, but I'm just not into it. And the original, it's what are they called? Lovers. It's like a kind of, when you got them kind of bands that, like the Adventures, was it the Adventures that done Broken Land around kind of 87, you had that sort of big sort of production that was kind of lost in between sort of like dad rock and indie guitar. It kind of sort of skated in between. And this band that done that, it's a fantastic cover. Sorry, it's a fantastic original. That No More I Love Yous. It's way more kind of dreamy and guitar-y and a bit synth poppy. And from what I gather, they supported the Eurythmics around that time. And so I'm presuming the familiarity with that song become apparent. It wasn't a hit. And then fast forward, whenever it was, to the early 90s, Annie Lennox is looking for a hit and picks that up. And obviously has probably lined the pockets of them two gents that probably thought their time in music was done. And they've probably now got a very nice mortgage-free gaff on the back of that. But they were the two. That No More I Love Yous, maybe 2 years ago I found out about that one. So anybody got a cover they didn't know? Brett, what you got?
Tainted Love by Soft Cell. I didn't realise that was a cover till 5-10 years ago. You suddenly go, I kind of assumed it was them.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gloria Jones, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe so.
Am I right in saying partner of Mark Bolan, I believe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she was in the car when he died. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of cracking Northern Soul records, did anybody watch Northern Soul at the Proms?
No.
So, again, I'm not, the Proms is not something that I rush to watch. But I see that Stuart McConey had curated this kind of lineup of vocalists with, I presume, the London Philharmonic or something, to play a load of Northern Soul classics, and it was fantastic. I didn't really recognise the vocalists. Some were better than others, but hearing a full orchestra, like full band with a full orchestra busting out, you know, Do I Love You and Ghost in My Ass, it was like, it was fantastic. Yeah, it's on the iPlayer. I'd urge you to go and give that a little listen. Okay, Tainted Love. Stephen, you had your hand up as well for a song you didn't realise was a cover. What you got, mate?
Yeah, Chulas is right. Eloise by the Damned.
Yes, it's an old 60s record. It was a
cover. I think it was in the Chart Music podcast. That sort of came up when we were talking about that. And I was like, I just thought that was there. I thought it was a great song.
Yeah.
That's a cover. But I mean, that's the whole thing about these sort of cover versions. It's such a big topic. And there's so many songs. And I think you're sort of talking about It Must Be Love by Madness. You're sort of talking about something.
I thought I'd leave that one to
you. You mentioned the song. People will initially think of the cover version, like the Message to You, Rudy. But when somebody says to you, oh, no, that's a cover, that's original, you're not meant to go, no, you're fucking wrong, I'm going to fucking have you. You're meant to go, oh, I never knew that, that's interesting. No, I prefer the cover or I prefer the original.
Well, it must be
you're
love.
You're not meant to have a go at them for giving you.
It Must Be Love by Madness.
Oh, it's happening now. It's happening live. Yeah.
What? Get away.
All right.
Wow. You learn something new every day.
I had
several
things. Well, I didn't know about the Specials one either, going back. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that was a cover of whoever you said it was.
I had
I'll have to re-listen to this one because who was the cover original by?
Dandy Livingston.
Andy Livingston, who did
A
Message to You.
Rudy, A Message to You was Dandy Livingston. Must Be Love with Labby Siffre.
Right.
I had spoiler alert. I had Sarah Jane Morris from the Communards on, which is coming very soon. And spoiler alert. She did choose Labby Siffre's version of It Must Be Love, and it kind of, in preparation for that, I was, when I listened to a lot more, because I was only familiar with that and Something Inside So Strong, and he's got some fantastic records that I had no idea existed. And it is weird because it is a lovely version of It Must Be Love. But I think certainly of this generation that most of us sort of grew up in, it's impossible to not just yearn for the Madness version, because it's so much, it's just ingrained, isn't it? It's just part of the fabric of our upbringing and and the music that we've
there's a number of songs like that. And I think it'll get more common now, the way people are listening to music and getting it through Spotify and through playlists, as opposed to people introducing it and talking about it. They'll just be hearing the songs.
That's a great shout. Anybody else got a cover they didn't realise was a cover until recently?
Yeah. Torn by Natalie Imbruglia, or however you pronounce her name. I didn't realise that was a cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is an awakening for you, Danny, isn't it?
I had drum lessons with her drummer called Chuck Sabo, who's a brilliant session drummer and one of my favourite drummers, and I got loads of drum lessons with him, and he played on that record and toured with her and played on the first three of her albums. But yeah, I didn't know Torn was a cover, and you interviewed Phil Thornalley, didn't you?
I did,
Who produced that record. And produced
wrote that record.
Yeah, he wrote the whole, wrote and produced it.
Yeah,
I bet he's more left of the middle.
He must be mortgage free. Right.
which house?
That was the one I think I might have mentioned to you. Like,
I like Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah. I should have 100% of.
So who's the original by?
It was written for like I really don't want to get it wrong, but it was like a Norwegian band or an Austrian band, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't a global hit, obviously. And I don't even know if it's a global hit with Imbruglia, but it certainly blew up. And that record you still gets heavy rotation now.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic pop record.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, if you didn't ever listen to that episode,
yeah, it's a great episode.
I did not prep as much as I should have on that episode because the stuff that man had done. Yeah, yeah, I played bass on Love Cats by The Cure. And it was like, oh, Christ. He'd done everything. He'd been in so many bands. He was, one interesting guy. To go from The Cure to Johnny Hates Jazz to them writing, he wrote Torn, he wrote Boys and Girls and the other number one for Pixie Lott. And then, did he produce The Jam? He was like a co-producer from The Jam early on.
Because he was a tape operator, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
He moved to London from like Suffolk Norfolk or somewhere. Right. And then he was a tape operator in the studio working overnights and stuff. And then he worked his way up to like record producer.
Yeah, he was a fascinating fellow. Danny, I'm going to get you to transcribe all of my podcasts. I love the fact that you remember them better than me. This is fantastic.
quite often I'm really concentrating on it, you know. I get annoyed if I start drifting off, you know.
Fantastic. It's good. I'm glad that someone does.
I love it.
Right. Okay. Let's go for Paul. Give me a cover.
A great one, a song of mine, is there's a sort of beardy Americana guy called Aaron and Wine.
Yes.
And he's done a really good version of a New Order song called Love Vigilantes. And it's just like a completely different version. Like, I think Love Vigilantes is on Low Life. It's first song on Low Life. It's a really New Order-y song. You know, it's just classic New Order. And he's just done a lovely acoustic version of it. And it just gives it a different feel altogether. It's fantastic.
Have you heard Frente's Bizarre Love Triangle?
Who is it, sorry?
Frente, F-R-E-N-T-E.
No, I've not heard it. No.
I think they're from New Zealand, Australia, and it used to get played quite a lot in Lassiter's in Neighbours. It was always on in the background, and it's a fantastic cover. And Bizarre Love Triangle is one of my favourite, if not my favourite, New Order record. And to hear it with this female really gentle vocal and just this little acoustic guitar picking away, it's beautiful. And it, like you say, with yours, Paul, it sort of spins it on its head because it's just...
That's what I love about covers when that happens, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Wonderful.
I saw, it was a thing I went to once, 8 years ago. It was like, there's a guy called Rob Gretton who used to work for a factory.
Yeah.
And he died like 1999 or something. And they had like a sort of... a tribute thing for him in 2004, and when we arrived, it was Bernard Sumner and Jimmy from Doves, just on acoustic guitars playing Bizarre Love Triangle, and it was absolutely a mess. Yeah, yeah, and again, just a completely different look to it, different feel altogether. It was just absolutely really, really memorable moment. Yeah.
I want to shout out other music podcasts just because, former guest of the show and lovely guy, Sean Keaveney. I presume, if not, you don't already, go and check out Sean's podcast where people curate a festival.
It's a glorious podcast. Yeah, love it.
And he had Paddy Constantine on talking about playing Rob Gretton. And that was, it was Gretton he played, wasn't it? Yeah. In 24 Hour Party,
people. Yeah, we did. With the big glasses and everything. Yeah,
yeah, and he spoke at length about that. And you mentioned earlier, Stephen, the chart. What's it called? The chart podcast.
Chart Music, the top of the pops podcast with Simon Price and Taylor Parks and all that.
I'd never listened to it, and it was Cunt that listens to it, and he was like, "You need to listen to this. It's all of like our cynical indie schmindy mates that were just always really bitter and angry about records." He was like, "This is like 4 hours worth of them."
It's
just
about 6 hours each episode. It's fucking brilliant.
I've been listening to lots of them, and
I listened to it from the start. I listened to the most recent one a couple of years ago to see what it was like, and it was like, "This is amazing," and went back to the start to get all the end jokes. Have you reached the Bummer Dog story yet?
No, I've just finished them spending 30 minutes absolutely destroying Candy Flip at the moment. all right, Big Steve, give me a cover, mate, that you like.
Oh, I was scanning through because I've got a covers playlist on my Spotify. I was scanning through that to see stuff that I had on a lot of weird ones, and a lot of them are, as you say, like ska punk covers. You know, you've got Take On Me by Real Big Fish, and there's a, I can't remember what the band are called, but there's someone covers Little Lion Man by Mumford and Sons.
There's a really good one of Torn, bizarrely enough.
Oh, is there?
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm probably going to go for a band I've mentioned many times before because I love them, but called Thou. They've got two entire Nirvana covers albums. And as hauntingly beautiful as Something in the Way is by Nirvana, their version is not only haunting, but it just makes you feel really uneasy. They've turned it into a real kind of, I don't know, you feel kind of unclean after you've listened to it. It's amazing.
Nice, nice. And what's that? But you've mentioned that band before. They're called Thou.
Thou, yeah, Thou.
Yeah.
They're just like a kind of sludgy metal band from like the South in the States. And I've got a real affection for grunge. I've covered like Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam. They do a wicked cover of Spin the Black Circle, actually.
Oh, nice.
It's amazing. I mean, if you like that style of music, it's not for everyone, but yeah, I love it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Was there anybody else that had a cover? I didn't realize there was a cover. Have you got another one? Have you got one, Brett?
Yeah. This Is How It Feels to Be Lonely, but I thought it was by Carter USM, but it wasn't. It was in Spirals, wasn't it?
Bizarrely, the last episode where they went to that chart podcast, where they went in on a candy flip, they also went in on the Inspiral Carpets and This Is How It Feels, essentially. I mean, can we... Let's talk Carter and their covers, because one of my favourite covers of all time is Hit, their Sugar Cubes cover, which I believe was on the B-side of Lean On Me, I Won't Fall Over, or Lenny and Terrence. It was one of them sort of latter singles.
Well, you can add that to cover versions that I didn't know fucking existed.
Oh, well. Hello, Cy Lovell. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I heard Carter, so I thought I better join in.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
Many years ago, I went to the launch party for an EMF EP, and the secret warm-up band were Carter, and they did an hour set of all covers. It was fucking brilliant.
Oh, at
Camden Underworld. It was amazing.
Their covers are ridiculous. Like, I think on the B-side of Rubbish, you get... This Is How It Feels and Down in the Tube Station at Midnight. Panic, they covered. Hit.
Rent, they covered.
Oh, that at the end of Rent, like, because he says he took me to a restaurant on Fulham Broadway, which I thought was amazing. I like the fact that he squeezed that in. And the bit at the end where normally you've just got Neil Tennant really quietly going, it's easy, it's easy, it's so easy. And like, and Jim Bob screaming it. That cover of Rent is phenomenal. Yeah, you might have picked up I'm quite a Carter fan. But
what's my name?
And I'll tell you what, the episode with Jim Bob, that I filmed, that I recorded that on Face to Face in the Oxton Square Bar. And he was so shy, like really, really shy. And it was I was really surprised. I thought he'd be really sort of brash and like, I don't know, but he was absolutely adorable. Like such a lovely dude. Is that, that's Rubbish, isn't it? There. No, that's Man, isn't it? I can see that Side Love has pulled some vinyl out. What's on the B side of Sheriff Fat Man? You got your mic off your helmet.
Fucking try. Right. Yeah, I forgot. You got, on the side, you've got RSPCE.
Yep.
Everybody's Happy Nowadays.
Yep. Buzzcocks cover, love
it. And then Twin Tub with Guitar.
Superb. What a band. Well, while you're here, you're late to the party side, but you're always welcome, my friend. Give me a cover that you love.
Oh, as always, it's always hard, isn't it? I think my favourite cover of all time is Southern Man, the Neil Young song by Mary Clayton.
I've never heard that.
Do you know Southern Man?
I'm not up to speed on Neil Young, I've got to be honest.
Ah, right. Yeah, it's a cracking. So the old Lynyrd Skynyrd did like a song back against him. It was like this to-do about being... And there's Mary Clayton, who's this black singer from the 70s, probably. And she does one of the most funkiest, real sort of really good 70s funky sort of version of soul-y funk version of Southern Man. And it has got, it's got more heart than Neil Young's by a long shot. It's an absolutely cracking song. But none of you have heard of that. Do any of you know Southern Man by Neil Young?
Oh, I know it, yeah.
No. Christ. Well, that's not much I can say about that. Really.
You sold it well, though. I was well interested. I'll give it a listen.
Yeah, it'll make the playlist and people can go and investigate that. So we've already sort of spoke about the sort of credentials that we wonder, you know, that makes a good cover. And we've discussed a few songs that we didn't realise were covers until much later on. Has anybody ever been to a gig or bought a record or just been trawling through Spotify and found a cover that really surprised them?
Yeah.
Go on.
Never Let Me Down Again. It was pushed between this and what I just said, Never Let Me Down Again by a woman, and I can't remember her name now. I've started it.
Oh yeah, I was going to say this. Jessica Mazin.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it last time we were sort of mentioned.
Yeah,
it's an incredible cover version.
Yeah, it was on The Last of Us, that Now TV drama series. It was on the closing credits. Right. Closing credits. Yeah, and I just
I haven't. I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say the Smashing Pumpkins cover.
No, this is better than that one.
Jessica Mazin, it's amazing.
It's beautiful.
I know the one you mean. Yeah, it's great.
And the best bit where we all know where the crowd are going like that, it's a beautiful acoustic song. And when it gets to that bit, her vocal's just lovely. It's haunting. And it really, I'm like you, a huge Mode fan. Don't cover them anyone, but that's a winner for me. It's probably one of my favourite Depeche Mode songs as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she kills it.
Yeah, she does. That's a great, great song. And it's sung with from her point of view as well, you know, like a young person's point of view singing it, you know, so it gives the song completely different meaning. So, yeah, it's very powerful and it's quite stripped down as well. But, yeah, it's a really good song. I've listened to that a lot of times.
Well, while you're chatting, Danny, for our covering...
Well, the one that sprang to mind was Nirvana, Man Who Sold the World.
Oh, great shout. What a great shout. Didn't even think of that.
Drop the mic. There you go. Yeah, no, I just think it's because I think it was a live recording of a MTV Unplugged.
Mm.
And it's just like they've got a few imperfections in the recording, which I really like, you know, the way the guitar sounds. And then Dave Grohl is playing hot rods, which is a bit like brushes. So it's kind of almost acoustic, but it's just an amazing song. And again, sung from Kurt Cobain's kind of point of view. So it gives the song completely different meaning. I just think it's very powerful, but with all the imperfections of a live version, when you're trying to reach certain notes on the guitar and things like that. It's just a cracking cover, Man Who Sold the World.
Yeah,
you've got the three Meat Puppets covers on that album as well.
There are loads of other covers on there, is there?
Yeah, there's three songs they do by the Meat Puppets.
Oh right.
So Lake of Fire, Oh Me, and
Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
That's it.
Was that a Meat Puppets song?
That's Leadbelly,
I know there's three on there.
Leadbelly.
Yeah, that was Leadbelly, yeah.
Yeah. Like, but that unplugged.
Yeah.
I think that was the...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you watch that, and you know, obviously it's so tragic what happened to Kurt Cobain, but obviously hearing the fucking raucous noise they made perfectly, and then to hear them sit there like that and just absolutely just deliver it in a completely different way, equally as incredible. And it was around that time that apparently there's that recording that he's made with Michael Stipe, and I just think, when it comes to kind of acoustic based, you know, music at that point, the thought of hearing Michael Stipe and Kurt Cobain's vocals together, oh my God, I'd give anything to hear that. And I just think it's when you watch that recording of Unplugged that you just think, what would have been next for Nirvana? We could have seen something absolutely just, yeah, I know it's good to kind of do that, you know, rather than sort of fade out, just explode the way they do, and you know, but I just think there was way more to come there, and I think it, you know, I think you would have got a lot more great stuff, and it's just a shame that we're never going to get it, but yeah, and again, I've got to be honest, I prefer that version to Bowie's. I think
me too.
It's better, yeah, okay. Who's not throwing a cut? Steve, have you done a cover yet?
Well, I mean, I've got hundreds of my terms that I've between. I'll throw out something that's not a cover, it's an arrangement. It's another Madness song, Swan Lake. Their version of Swan Lake from One Step Beyond. So it's not a cover version, but that's sort of got me into listening to classical music. Great. But the cover version will choose, it's a cover of an ABBA song from the film High Rise. Like Portishead, SOS takes the song, slows it right down, makes it atmospheric, creepy. It's only in the film a couple of seconds, it's not in that long, but when it came in, I was like, what's this? I sort of vaguely recognise that. What is it? And it's just really good, just takes it in a completely different direction as Portishead did. Yeah.
Oh, great shout. Great chat.
I fucking hate ABBA, but that song is fucking amazing. I've always said.
I I went to Abba Voyage 2 weekends ago.
I saw.
I reckon I cried 6 times.
Oh, wow.
I'd had a bit to drink before I got there.
Do you recommend it?
It was one of the most incredible gigs I've ever seen. And when you see that old footage of like Tupac and that hologram, you just think, yeah. Had I not told my children that was holograms, you wouldn't have known. Like, I felt like I watched ABBA at their peak, and it was fucking mesmerizing. And you realize how many hits they've got when they play for 90 minutes. And as you're walking home, you go, they didn't play Angelize. They didn't play Money, Money, Money. They didn't play Super Trooper. And it's like, they played 90 minutes of hits and still like didn't play One of Us. You just think, how many fucking incredible songs have they got? I would recommend that anybody that likes a bit of pop to go and watch that, because it's absolutely incredible. And I think when it comes to songwriters, they're up there with the best of them. Surprised by covers, I'll throw one in, and I think I've mentioned it before. When I first saw The Cure on the Wish tour in the early 90s, they played Foxy Lady, and I was like, it's quite a sexy song, Foxy Lady, and Robert Smith is normally crying into his pint about women, like, not get any sexy on, but they absolutely took the roof off with it. It was fantastic. Anyone else heard The Cure play Foxy Lady?
It's on Join the Dots, isn't it?
Is it on there?
Yeah, it's on there.
Right.
I'm sure it is.
So they've recorded it as well?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's not that.
Because that's the only place, only place I've ever heard it is on Join the Dots. It's a cracking cover, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I love a little unlikely cover. Right. Who's not thrown a cover at me yet? Has everyone thrown one in? Okay. Bad cover versions. I mean, I'll kick things off with Love Is All Around by Wet, Wet, Wet. Classic track by the Troggs, covered perfectly by REM.
Shit, Wet, Wet, Wet.
Yeah, but... And unfortunately, that one stuck around for a long time as well, didn't it? And
4 months or something, a number one, would it?
Yeah, it was painful. It was painful. It's a cracking song, Love Is All Around. But
is that by the Troggs?
Yeah. Yeah. REM covered it on the B-side of Near Wild Heaven, I believe.
One of my best mates' dads is in the Troggs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of my best mate Luke, his old man, they live up the road from here. He actually lives in the same village as Toya and Robert Fripp lived.
I mean, that's like Stella Street, isn't it? Like, they're all in one place.
Wow, where's that, Essex?
Wiltshire.
Oh, Wiltshire. All right, okay.
Yeah, wow. Bishop, Broadchalk, Broadchalk.
Lots of ley lines around there, aren't there?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Reg Presley from the Troggs, he's all about the crop circles, isn't he? He's all over it, isn't he?
Yes. We're all like that around here, all mental. Idiotic.
Bunch of druids.
As soon as I said bad covers, everybody was mulling it over. Stephen, you had your hand up quicker than I've ever seen you move. Do you want to throw some bad covers at me, mate?
Again, all these things are personal sort of things. So there'll be people that think it's a great song and a better version. Scissor Sisters, Comfortably Numb. Just like, no. No, no, no.
That's such a good shout.
It's a big Pink Floyd band. That's one of the great fucking epic nonsense shite things. But I love it. And that's just like, what have you done? You've destroyed it.
What I love about that is, of all the Scissor Sisters sort of pop hits and whatnot, that was quite a forgettable early one. I love the fact that that's never far from the forefront of your mind when a bad record comes, because you plucked that from nowhere. I love that. waiting for an opportunity to just slag it off again. Fantastic. Yeah, that's not the greatest cover, is it? Who else has got a bad cover they want to throw in the mix? Go on, Brett, what you got?
Don't let Kate hear me say this. Tragedy by Steps. I mean, it's a fucking tragedy for a start.
Steps were a tragedy, weren't they, really?
They're a tragedy full stop, but you just like a reasonably good disco record, you just fucking make it worse.
No. Sorry, Katie.
Sorry, Katie. We do love you.
It is a tragedy, yeah. You're not wrong. You're really not. I went down a proper hole with the Bee Gees about 2 weeks ago and just revisited them because it was it Johnny Marr or somebody on Sean Keaveney's podcast? It was Paddy Considine again, went on about his love of the Bee Gees. And I just thought, when I finish the podcast, I'm going to sling some Bee Gees on. And much like ABBA, arguably some of the greatest songs. Are they some of the best songwriters ever, the Bee Gees? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Staying Alive, that is an amazing track.
Oh, Massachusetts.
What a tune.
So many.
Has anyone had red wine yet? Has anyone mentioned red wine? So that's a great cover, isn't it? The one, the UB40, is a cracking cover.
And do you know what? Like, I loved that when that came out. And, I think I didn't talk about it on this podcast, but I had a mate once who is my music snob mate, who, you know, whatever you liked, he liked it first and he didn't like it anymore because other people liked it. He was that kind of helmet. And he was coming home from London one night on the last train home, and the bloke next to him had like a cassette player and was pissed out of his head. And he said the whole way home he played the 12-inch extended remix of Red Red Wine. Wow. with the rap.
Oh,
the red, awesome. Red wine, you make me feel so fine. Nobody needs that on the last train home for hour and a half. That is
the geezer would have ended up fucking wearing it.
I mean, speaking of covers, how can we not talk about UB40? I mean, phenomenal first couple of records, and then let's do this covers thing. And then what a career change to just go. I mean, don't get me wrong, the success did come with the covers, the big success, but what a weird concept for a band to just do covers. It's quite a move away, isn't it? I don't know if they just run out of ideas, but let's just cover reggae hits.
There's a lot of reggae covers, isn't there, though? And a lot of bands covered reggae, but
yeah,
didn't they? I think, was it more of a thing for that sort of genre of music to do, do you think?
I don't know, but they were clearly a fantastic, you know, band of musicians.
Yeah, definitely.
They probably made it more palatable for kind of your
like middle class.
Yeah, people living at home, you know, aren't into music like we are, who, you know, you'd want to know the ins and outs of everything. And they were just like, oh, you know, just stick it on the radio. Oh, I like this one, you know, rather than deep diving.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon if you ask a lot of UB40 fans what their top five UB40 songs are, 1 in 10 probably ain't in that list.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
We just had a curveball thrown in. My wife just come home from work having a dinner, and she just thrown in, take that, smells like Teen Spirit. I didn't know that existed.
What?
Exactly. I can't. I'll tell you what. High five your wife, because that's fantastic. Because that, I don't even know if it's ever recorded, but there's a video, it's on YouTube, of them performing it live. I think like Jason's playing like guitar and Howard's playing bass. I think Owen might be on drums or so. It's some kind of, I think Robbie's long gone by then. But Barlow up front, just giving it full Kurt, is something to behold.
Why didn't
is it best the rush then?
It takes bad to a new place. It's
my skin is crawling, and I haven't even.
Where am I winning? Yeah, yes.
Well, if only Paul had a shotgun as well. Live the dream, darling.
But I think at that point, it was the B side of Angels that Robbie done a raucous kind of punk.
Yeah, he
back for good.
He did a cover of Limp Bizkit. He also did a Limp Bizkit's cover of Faith by George Michael.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because like, obviously, Limp Bizkit covered Faith, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he did a version of Limp Bizkit's version of Faith.
Wasn't his debut single, Freedom, a cover of George Michael?
Good shout. Yeah. Yes, it was.
He also did Carl Wallinger cover, didn't he? Robbie did. What was it? She's the One.
Yeah, yeah.
Carl Wallinger, isn't it?
Mm.
Which is actually not a bad cover, is it? It's not bad.
I mean, it's not much of a move from the original. And that song... Because Guy Chambers was in World Party for a bit, wasn't he?
Yes, right, yeah.
So I think maybe... Because She's the One weren't a hit for World Party, as far as I'm concerned.
Was it on Hello Jumbo?
I believe so, yeah. And then I think he must have just thought, do you know what, this is a hit. And obviously at that point, whatever Robbie Williams was going to sing was going to be a number one. And it is. It's a solid version of a great record. She's the One's a fantastic single.
It is. Beautiful song.
I quite like Robbie's cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. With Trevor Horn featuring the Psalm Orchestra. But I know that's really like not muso or anything, but it's a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine.
No,
I just think his voice is quite emotive, you know. Yeah. And it's a good cover of that track. Because that's like my favourite song by Tears for Fears. Well, possibly favourite song ever is that song. But you know, there's a few covers, like a Weezer do a cover. I was listening to the radio in the car, and it's like, and that came on. I was like, oh, I never heard of the Weezer version of that song. That was quite interesting as well. There's quite a few covers of that song around.
They released.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As a single Weezer, it's
did they?
Yeah, so was that part of like a Trevor Horn concert or something?
Yeah, I think it's called Trevor Horn Reimagining or something. It was a lot of his songs, covers with different artists, yeah, and with the Psalm Orchestra. So there's a whole orchestra behind it, and with a lot of these. You know, records, they have the top musicians. So I just appreciate it from, like, I'm like, who the hell played drums on that?
Yeah.
And I did a bit of digging and I found it was a session drummer called Ash Soane, very, very successful session player. And he played drums on that track. Yeah, because it's a fantastic drum groove on that cover version. I mean, Trevor Horn's got some cracking. But yeah, he's drummer of choices like Ash Soane for a lot of his more recent records.
It's I actually really wanted to to go to the Radio 2 in the Park thing this weekend, but I had to take my daughter to uni, and because Tears for Fears were headlining.
Yeah.
The Soft Cell were on the bill as well. Soft Cell, let's talk Soft Cell. We obviously mentioned Tainted Love, but also the full version of that went into Where Did Our Love Go? And also their What was the Judy Street Northern Soul hit, which they covered as well, which is fantastic. But yeah, Tears for Fears covered and released, I believe, Creep about 10 years ago. The Radiohead's Creep. Do you know what? I was so excited to, as I was driving back from my daughter's university, I put Radio 2 on and Tears for Fears just come on. And I'm a stupidly big fan of Tears for Fears. And it was a bit weird because it wasn't a Tears for Fears gig. It was a Radio 2 in the Park gig. Tears for Fears started with three songs no one had heard from the new record, then played Rule the World and I think it was Pal Shelter, then went on to thank Radio 2 for all their support with their new record, of which we're now going to play four tracks from. And I was just thinking, fucking hell, like, if you've just gone to hear Shout, Seeds of Love, and you've literally, the first sort of eight songs, like five are off the, or six are off the new record, it was a bit self-indulgent. But then I was moaning in the car, just going, I can't believe they're playing another one. And I love that band. But then the minute I heard the piano at the beginning of Head Over Heels, All Was Forgiven, and I was like, yeah, this is fucking perfect. And but they didn't play Woman in Chains. Didn't play Advice for the Young at Heart. But they, yeah, obviously Mad World and Shout and all the big ones. But yeah, everybody wants to rule the world. What a fantastic record. Okay. What else have I got on my notes to discuss here? Right.
I thought the shit cover.
Go on.
Sound of Silence by Disturbed and any other nu metal cover that they did from every 80s record known to man.
Who done Shout?
I think it was them again.
What band? What would you say?
Disturbed.
No, it weren't. It was one that had, I was about to say one that had a little twiddly beard, but they all had little twiddly beards, didn't they?
Yeah. Was it Orgy? Did Orgy Juice?
Yeah. One
Gary Jules, he covered it. Gary Jules.
He done Mad World, didn't
Mad
he?
Mad World, yeah.
Marilyn Manson obviously was no stranger to him, was he? Personal Jesus, Tainted Love, and he done another one, didn't he? Sweet Dreams. One of the first
things. He also locked people up in basements.
He did do that. So let's move on from Marilyn Manson. dream covers. Like, give me an artist and a song you'd like to hear and play. And I'm gonna throw one in to kick things off to give you a little bit of time to think about it. I'd like to hear Nick Cave cover. Now, I could have gone for like Riders on the Storm or The End or something really slow and that you could imagine Nick Cave doing, but I'd like to hear it with some really violent angular guitars and violin stabs. I'd like to hear him do Touch Me by The Doors, and then
favorite Doors song.
It's my favorite Doors song.
That's a great shout, Stu, Nick.
Yeah, Cage. And it weren't written by Morrison, that one, was it? I think Robbie Krieger wrote that one.
Oh, I don't know.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Krieger wrote that one. Yeah, but I'd like to hear Nick Cave just do a really sinister version of that, and I think he'd nail it. I know I've sort of put the pressure on you fellas now to throw something in the mix, but has anyone got straight in? Go on, what you got?
Well, it's actually Tom, my wife's always said it, and I thought it's a great shout, is Downtown Train by Tom Waits, sung by The Boss. It can be a cracking cover, that would, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great shout.
I think she's got a winner with that.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be nearly as good as Rod Stewart's.
Tom Waits has done, so he's got some good stuff like Screaming Jay Hawkins and what was the Tom Waits did a cover of Screaming Jay Hawkins, didn't he? I thought I wrote it down. Heart Attack and Vine.
Right.
By Screaming Jay Hawkins. I think that was his song and Tom Waits covered it. Was it the other way around?
I'm not too sure.
Do you know it?
I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah, Heart Attack and Vine's a cracking. Do you not know the Screaming Jay Hawkins one either?
No.
Oh, that's a cracking bit of a... Yeah, that's a great song. I can't remember which way around who wrote it.
We've just mentioned Rod. And has anybody ever heard Blur's version of Maggie May?
No.
Yeah, it was on the Ruby Tracks.
It was. It was on Ruby Tracks, and it's the B-side of Sunday Sunday, I believe, or maybe Chemical World. I think it's Sunday Sunday. Ruby
Tracks bought it because I had I Feel Love, Curve, and Manix.
Yeah.
Tide Is Painless. So they were the two that I got that for.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great, them Ruby Tracks compilations. Like, for listeners that were not familiar with them, I think they've done a couple.
It was 40 years of the...
And you just broke up a little bit there, Steve. I believe the NME put them together, didn't they?
Yeah, it's for 40 years of the NME, the double CD.
I'm trying to think what other tracks were on there. Obviously, Maggie May was on there. But what did they do? Blur? Oh, no. I've lost my way with that. It won't.
It's all a blur.
It is all a blur. Yeah, it's what happens when you get my age. But, it's a great cover, their version of Maggie May. I'm going to throw another one in, which was there was a band that had very, very little success. And I used to see them supporting a band called Airhead that we used to sort of follow about a bit way back in the early 90s.
Did they do Funny How?
They did, yeah.
Oh, I love that track.
It's an absolute perfect pop song. But this band was called Bedazzled, and they didn't really have any success. But they covered Kylie's Step Back in Time, which is a fantastic disco record. And they just played it with that kind of early 90s sort of wah guitar that every early 90s indie band was using, and it absolutely delivered. It was fantastic. I don't know where you'd ever get to hear that, but that was a cracker. Anybody got a cover that they'd like to hear, a dream cover?
Well, it's not really a dream cover, but just mentioning the Tom Waits, and it was the Scarlett Johansson album of Tom Waits covers.
I have not heard that.
Some of it's actually really nice.
It is. She's got a really good voice, and I'd like her to sort of do a sort of shoegazy type thing. I think it would go really well with sort of dreamy guitars, but her cover of Falling Down is really good, and that's got David Bowie doing backing vocals on it as well. And it's
a really good album, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really is a good album.
Fantastic. Okay, what have I got left on here? Right, okay. Well, look, I've kind of gone through me little pointers of things to talk about, and we're faster approaching the hour mark. Let's rattle off some other great covers. Who's got some ones that they want to give some honourable mentions to?
Easy is quite good by Faith No More.
Great shout.
Cover of Lionel Richie. But I heard on the radio the other day, it was actually people were saying, what's better, Lana Richie version or the Faith No More version? They're both so good. And possibly the Lana Richie version, actually. But
I think so.
Yeah. But, you know.
Well, I think the Faith No More version is better.
It is cracking.
I don't think there's a lot in it.
No, there's not a lot in it.
No, there's not.
They're so exactly close.
They also covered I Started a Joke as well, didn't they?
Oh, my God. The video to that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great shout. Who's in that video? Is someone really famous?
It is. And now you've asked me the question, I can't remember.
Oh,
I can't even look because I'm on my phone.
If someone can let me know who starred in the I Started a Joke video by Faith No More, do let me know. Because it's fantastic. Oh, that's a good shout, that is. What other covers did they do? They done
War Pigs or Black Sabbath.
Yep. And Midnight Cowboy, not Midnight Cowboy. What's the instrumental?
Yeah, no, it was Midnight Cowboy, yeah.
Yeah. Like, which I believe Manson kind of reworked that into the opening of their debut album with what was it called?
Back of the Green Lanterns.
Oh, the first track.
Yeah. Oh,
the Chad Who Loved Me.
The Chad Who Loved Me. The beginning of that, I'm sure, is very, very similar.
Sounds like a James Bond theme, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, I think he does sinister things as well. So let's move on away from him as well.
Love Will Tear Us Apart by Squarepush is a pretty good cover version.
I've never heard that. I did hear Noel Gallagher have a go at that about a month ago. Anyone else hear that?
No, I'm glad I didn't.
It was. I think he done like Jules Holland or something like that, and he played it. It was all right. Like, you got to go something and mess that song up, haven't you? It's pretty perfect, isn't it? Paul Cummins, what you got for me? Give me some covers.
There was a really, really brilliant album that came out about 25 years ago by Senior Coconut, he was called. And they did like Latin versions of Kraftwerk songs. And it was absolutely fantastic. Amazing. Have you heard that?
Yes, yeah. I've got it. It's brilliant.
It's a brilliant album. It's just superb. He did another one with, I don't know, some other bands as well, but that album is just amazing, yeah.
Senior Coconut.
He's called Senior Coconut, yeah. I think he's English, actually, but he pretends to be kind of from Mexico or something.
It's nuts. It's brilliant.
I'm loving that.
It looks like Martin Freeman, Faith No More, started a joke video. I can see him in that. Yeah, Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Carl. One of the greatest voices
Star
ever.
Star of The Office and The Hobbit.
Yeah, big feat. I had a really. I said, Steve, to you earlier, I was walking through London with Pip the other day, and years ago, I was going to a show, and I was in London early, and I was like, I'm going to walk in the National Portrait Gallery and just have a look about, because I've never been in there, and I just literally walked past the door, and I thought, oh, it's free, I'm going to have a look in there. And as I was walking through there, I spotted Martin Freeman. And I was like, holy shit. It's like, I mean, this was probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago. And I was like, holy shit, it's Martin Freeman. So I was sort of like loitering around thinking like, should I go and say hello? And I hadn't even looked up. And then when I looked up, there was like a 10-foot painting of Pip in the National Portrait Gallery. And that's what Martin Freeman was staring at. And I was like, oh no, this is an overload. I can't deal with all of this. This is all just this is too much. There's Martin Freeman looking at a massive painting of my mate in the National Portrait Gallery. What's going on here? And I literally recounted that to him the other day. I was going, fucking hell, I remember I walked past there and Martin Freeman was looking at a painting of you. Bizarre.
Wow. I bet he loved that as well.
Yeah, of course.
Did Pip know that he had a painting of himself there?
Pardon?
Did Pip know that he had that painting
there?
Yeah.
But he's quite weird. He didn't tell anyone.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, that's cool.
And
I saw Martin Freeman in Harley Street once. He was talking to his like in-laws or something. And I went past. I was just like, all I said was, vote Labour. And I put my thumb up to him because he'd recently done a Labour TV commercial.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's a massive music obsessive, isn't he? He's absolutely obsessed with jazz and soul and absolutely obsessed with the style.
I'm surprised you haven't had him on your podcast yet.
Well,
you've had a lot of actors of that ilk on your podcast.
Not as famous as him.
I'm sure you could get him on because he'd talk till the cows come home about music.
Yeah, he's put a couple of records out on Eddie Piller's Acid Jazz label. I watched the Style Council documentary they made a couple of years ago, which I thought was fantastic. Like he was a talking head on that, and very, very influenced and knowledgeable on the Style Council.
You're saying about acid jazz, Stu. Somebody's done some brilliant covers in weird ways, like Matt Berry when he did his did his theme tunes.
Yes, yeah.
That's acid jazz, isn't it?
Speaking of that, JTQ's cover of Motorhead by Motorhead is fantastic. Right, okay, so Paul's got to leave, but did you say Bob Stanley's written a book about the Bee Gees?
Yeah, it's really good as well.
Right, I'll let you go, I will definitely give that a whirl. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant for the podcast, I think, as well, if you can get
Stanley so many times.
Oh. No worries. Cheers, mate. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye, see you later. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Anybody else got some covers they want to throw in before we wrap it up? Go on in, Brett, what you got?
A Californian band which describe themselves as dirty reggae, band called the Agrolites. They do Don't Let Me Down by the Beatles as their encore. It's absolutely brilliant. They're really good at what they do. And Jesse's voice, top notch. I don't really like the Beatles, but this comes on, you're like, this is good. This is really good.
Oh, there's a lot of good Beatles covers out there. Oh, Ben Folds doing Golden Slumbers. Yes, please. I will have that one all day long.
Yeah,
do you remember 5:30, the band from the 90s?
Of course. Played the Toothbrush three times, mate.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, they did a version of Come Together that was really good.
They did.
One of their EPs. That was a great Beatles cover.
Yeah. Other early 90s covers... World of Twist, She's Like a Rainbow.
Yeah, Super Dragons.
I'm Free, of Free. Course. Yeah.
Great cover, that is.
Yeah, I've just seen they're touring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Touring that one song, yeah?
Stephen, what you got? You said you had one.
A couple. Sisters of Mercy, Emma.
Oh, fantastic shout.
June Jett, I Love Rock and Roll.
Is that a cover?
Aye, the Arrows did the original version.
Who did?
Really?
The Arrows.
Oh, well, there you go.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Wow.
There's a couple. Finish on a bombshell. And on that bombshell.
Oh, fantastic. Stephen, ramp your smugness up to 12. That was fantastic. Yeah. I have no idea. Si, what you got?
I've got a couple. One that's really bad but amazingly good is the Beastie Boys cover of Benny and the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Good shout.
They sound like they're drunk and he plays it slightly off key all the way through and it's genius.
Yeah.
It's just off key and a bit drunk and a bit almost, well, it's jokey, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, but absolutely.
Whenever I hear the original, Elton John playing it at the beginning, I just think I'm waiting to hear a drunken Beastie Boys version. They ruined it for me because I'm a huge Elton John fan, Elton John. But But the only other thing really is Cat Power has done some incredible covers.
Yeah.
She's done like three albums. She's just about to release next month.
A new album, right?
Yeah, and it's literally she's replaying the Dylans live at the Royal Albert Hall from 1969. And she's replaying the whole thing where he first went electric. And she's literally doing that gig. She played it back in, I think she did it at the Royal Albert Hall last year in November. And there's a couple of songs off of there that she's released and they are wonderful. And she's done some lovely covers anyway, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
She's done some Nick Cave covers and
I'm trying to think who done the cover, a female vocalist, English, of Lay Lady Lay. About 10 years ago, Gemma something. I can't think what her second name was. Gemma Hayes? Was it Gemma Hayes?
Yeah, Gemma Hayes.
Like an actress? Or...
Like a folk singer, wasn't she?
Yeah, it was very...
Like a Beth Orton type.
Yeah, very much in that vein. Yeah, a little bit more dreamy. Like
Gemma Hayes.
Yeah, that was a fantastic Dylan cover. I'm trying to think what I'm going to
say. Deftones do a good cover of Simple Man by Skinner.
Yes. So Deftones do a few good covers as well, don't they?
They also cover Sade as well.
What song? Is it No Ordinary Love?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, that's a fucking good song.
Because they've got a covers album, Deftones.
Yeah. Placebo do a lot of good covers.
Yeah, Running Up That Hill.
20th yeah. Century Boy.
20th by Century Boy.
T-Rex.
Daddy Cool.
What was the other one?
Daddy Cool.
Yeah, a fantastic cover of Daddy Cool. But they do the Robert Palmer song, Johnny and Mary. They do a really good version of that. They do a cover of Where Is My Mind by the Pixies, which is really good. I'll throw in a couple of covers. Failure's cover of Enjoy the Silence on the For the Masses album, which was an album of covers, which that Pumpkins track was on. Can't remember what track Deftones do on there. They're on there doing a track. And I'll have to always shout out Wild Horses by the Sundays because I think it's just different level, beautiful. And REM's cover of, is it Glen Campbell or is arguably Wichita Lyman the greatest cover ever if it's a Jimmy Webb track? I don't know. Is it a Jimmy Webb song? If it is, then Wichita Lyman's the greatest cover ever, in my opinion, because that's about as good as it gets, that record. I'm now thinking of fucking other songwriters that have written amazing songs that other people have made hits. And I'm now thinking of Frankie Valli. Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore by the Walker Brothers is a cover. Like, what a fucking masterpiece that is. Bye Bye Baby.
Missing out Robson and Jerome.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Robson, Mrs. Robinson by Lemonheads. What a fantastic cover that is.
Motion City Soundtrack do a good cover of Pop Song 89.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's really good. Because there was a spate of albums in the sort of mid-2000s of like punk bands doing like, there was like Punk Goes Country, Punk Goes Pop, and a few other different kind of genres, and that's on one of them. Oh. It's really good.
Well, look, what I'm going to do is our resident note taker is in Japan. On holiday, so I'll do a little post after this episode thanking you all for coming, and if you can all put your favorite covers on there, then I'll put together a playlist and then post it for everyone to go and get stuck into and have a listen. And obviously, even if there's ones that you haven't mentioned that pop in your head, then let's put together a really good playlist of amazing covers. I'm going to press stop now. Thanks everyone for coming this evening. Don't disappear because I want to have a chat with you about next month.